Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Alexander Kudakov. He discusses why the new National Comprehensive Cancer Network guideline regarding active surveillance caught urologists by surprise. Kudakov is chief of the Division of Urology and Urologic Oncology and a professor in the Department of Surgical Oncology at the Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So could you please discuss the recent NCCN prostate cancer guideline change that prompted a conversation on Twitter among yourself and several other urologists?
Yeah, a lot of us were surprised by the change. The NCCN made a minor change where active surveillance was no longer the preferred management strategy for low-risk prostate cancer. Very low-risk prostate cancer, active surveillance remained the preferred strategy. Now, this was a change that was really unexpected. This was a change that wasn't prompted by new evidence. So, you know, I think the community really just was asking the NCCN for transparency and to better understand what initiated this change, since a lot of us in the localized prostate cancer community feel strongly that active surveillance is really underutilized. And the signaling here from the NCCN is very confusing, not only to providers, but also to patients. When you compare active surveillance utilization in the United States to, you know, our Canadian neighbors or to the UK, we're still very low and we're continue to overtreat people, many of us think unnecessarily. So something like this from NCCN was very surprising.
I guess you touched on the second question already about the significance of this change, but do you think this change is likely to affect your own management of patients with low-risk prostate cancer, and why or why not?
Right. Yeah, certainly in my practice, there won't be any changes in management, but I think we cannot underestimate the power of the NCCN guidelines. And I mean, these guidelines have become increasingly powerful. We have to remember that these guidelines are really expert opinion. I mean, unlike some other guidelines that are rigorously evidence-based, these are expert opinion guidelines. Yet these guidelines now drive insurance coverage, they drive medical legal conversations. So the guidelines wield a lot of power. And that's why I think the community was so assertive in really asking for transparency and reasons for why these changes were made, because again, they were made in complete absence of any new evidence that's come out in this space.
And lastly, Dr. Kudakov, is there anything else you feel our audience should know about this topic or this debate?
I think the topic of guidelines, how they're generated, and what leeway each guideline allows in terms of changing the guidelines, I think that should come into focus. Some of the procedural logistics of changing these guidelines, we're clearly finding out that don't actually require a vote, which personally was a surprise to many of us. And I think potentially that should get the community's attention.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.